today's audio cast for Monday, June 11th, 2007 from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource, is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Epic Aircraft CEO Rick Shramick was beaming last week after announcing that his company's all-composite very-light jet, the Epic Elite Jet, achieved its first flight on Thursday morning. Shramick talks with AvWeb editor-in-chief Chad Troutfeder about the first flight of the twin jet as well as other developments at the Bend, Oregon aircraft manufacturer.
The first flight went off yesterday morning, I'm guessing around 7:30. We had done many, many high-speed taxi tests and engine run test with Williams to make sure that the aircraft and engine combination met all of its requirements, making sure that all of our brake requirements and basic ground handling and we'll call it ground effect, meaning having it 4 or 5 feet in the air, that it met all of those criteria. And we did that for a significant amount of time before the airplane took its first flight. Then at 7:30, as I said, the airplane took first flight. It was a reasonably fixed configuration to check out control responses and everything else. The only thing that did not stay as fixed configure was flaps. So we took off with 12 degrees of flaps, and then during the, I think it was about a 40-minute flight, the test pilot went through different speed ranges and different flap settings from no flap to 12 degrees to 35 degrees. And did some middle altitude, if you will, 13,000 foot planned approaches to see how the aircraft handled at approach speed and everything else with all of those flap configurations at different air speeds. He also checked out all of the flight control dynamics and went through the complete range of control inputs and pressures and landed the airplane. It was an extremely successful flight. We had virtually no squawks with the exception of one of the struts had a little less nitrogen in it than the other. That was his entire squawk list. And the airplane is doing additional flight testing. I'll probably do 3 flights today.
What speed range did he get up to on the first flight?
On the first flight, you typically only run in the... he had a not-to-exceed range of 200 knots gear down. 200 knots indicated. So for the first probably 5 or 6 flights, he will still be in gear down fixed configuration and we'll do some engine analysis and some different things and different techniques on takeoff and landings and slow speed, mid-altitude stuff. And then probably this time next week, he will be into, gear up and probably, certainly going into the 200 to 280, 290 knot range.
You're planning on taking the airplane to Oshkosh, and by that point, do you expect to have pretty much the full range of the envelope explored?
The expectations, looking at the flight program as it sets right now, and the weather in Bend is absolutely beautiful. So we probably will have close to 40 or 50 flight hours, and maybe even more than that, between now and Oshkosh. And we should be very well into the complete flight range and altitude range of the aircraft.
The first couple airplanes will be kit-built, and then you'll get into certification. When can people start building their kit airplanes?
Actually, last quarter this year.
Okay, so they can take
experimental... October, November, December of this year.
And you're also working on the Victory, and you also plan on bringing it to Oshkosh. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
That aircraft right now... clean sheet of paper design was the 15th of December of 06. Where the airplane sits right now, it's out of paint. Engine is installed. All the FADEC wiring harnesses are in it. The instrument panel will be going in this week, and gear is in it, so it will be on the ground by tomorrow. Taxi tests are expected to start June 22nd.
That's pretty aggressive.
And I would expect first flight to be between the 29th of June and maybe the 3rd of July.
That's a pretty aggressive schedule. How does an upstart manufacturer, how do you achieve that in 7 months?
Wow, well, that's our secret, isn't it? I mean, we've taken an airplane from a clean sheet of paper to production tooling in 7 months, and I would have to say that is our intellectual property. That's our black magic. But we clearly have done it. So getting to what it really is the absolute right team of people with absolutely no changes in specifications of the airplane from start to finish unless they're related to safety. So you have to stay on task. You can't, you know, come up with, oh, we have this new feature and that new feature. You've got to lock the design early and freeze it and don't change. And our particular design library and the people that started from day one are still on the project, and they do phenomenal work. And they want to do it. It's that plus some black magic.
Let's shift over to the turboprops, the Epic LT and the Dynasty. You just delivered serial number 10 last month on the LT.
Yeah, which, 10 or 11, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is the kit built. And then the Dynasty is now in certification. Can you just give us an update on that a little bit?
We modified our delivery schedule of the Dynasty to Transport Canada by about 3 months because of the Herculean effort put into getting the Victory to market. So instead of, we had expected that mid-June that the aircraft, our conforming flight aircraft, would go to Transport Canada, and it looks like it's going to be late August simply because of the bandwidth that we put into the Victory. But the wing that is on the Dynasty and the wing that's on the Elite Jet is virtually the identical wing. So we get a lot of data flying the Elite as far as flap configurations, airfoil planform and controls that directly relate to the Dynasty.
Actually, getting back to the Victory, is that going to be I think it's something fun. You said it might be a certified airplane. Have you come to any decision on that yet?
Well, the answer is no. Until the market tells us what they want to do, and until you actually see the aircraft, I think that the market data is less than convincing to me. In other words, just because people say, oh, that's cool and that's really neat, and gosh, I really want one of those, or I want 10 of those, or whatever the number is. Until it's reality, I think that you might be, making a gamble that you wouldn't make if you knew for a fact that people may not have wanted as many as you thought they did. I would have to say that the decision to certify that has not been made yet, but at this point in time, we've not built an aircraft that is not certifiable, and we've not built an aircraft yet that has been seen by the public that they didn't want certified. So the likelihood is high.
The Victory customers, are any asking for a parachute recovery system on that?
Well, I don't know if anybody has asked, but we certainly believe that, we are very actively looking at BRSs. There's obviously, like anything, the downside and the upside. If you're talking about a ballistic parachute for a very fast airplane, 330-plus knot aircraft, you're talking about a particular system that forget the price of it, but basically is 120 to 130 pound payload eating device. So in essence, it's almost a full person. You have to really look at that. But I think there is little doubt that we would not offer that. I think it's the perception of the BRS is enough that it certainly has to be available.
I was just reading in the USA Today the other day about prices for composite materials going up because Boeing and Airbus are starting to build composite airplanes. Has that affected you, and do you think that will affect prices for your products?
I think the answer to it is any price increase affects the bottom line and or the price that the customer pays. We buy pretty far out. We schedule and contract for multiple years. And what is happening in the environment with the Airbus and or the Dreamliner is that the carbon fiber manufacturers are building very, very large factories and facilities to meet the needs. It is absolutely clear that, to me, that any manufacturer of any product would look at a market and try to build to the market need. If you don't, it's not making sense. So I think that market demand meets market need. Volume controls pricing. So right now, I don't see that it's going to change anything on our aircraft other than just keeping up with CPI, that it would change anything on any pricing on our aircraft.
Epic Aircraft CEO Rick Schramick. Comments on this audiocast are welcome at audionews@avweb.com. This report was brought to you by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. Look for AvWeb's next audiocast on Friday, June 15th. I'm Mike Blakeney for AvWeb Audio. Thanks for listening.